This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. The spread of COVID-19 has made even some of the most basic personal health choices more difficult. And many of you want to know how to navigate some of these decisions. So to help answer this, we have called Dr. Elizabeth Poorman. She's a doctor of internal medicine at the University of Washington School of Medicine. Dr. Poorman, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
So, you know, we've been seeing this pandemic that has profound implications for people, and we are seeing that it's affecting their decisions around medical care. As a primary care doctor, what have you seen? How have you seen this play out?
Yeah, it's been very difficult for patients to decide what kind of care they need, when they need it, how to access it, you know, which have always been, you know, big issues for my patients as I work primarily with underserved communities. But I had a patient recently that I think just really illustrated this really well. Her husband is an essential worker. He has an autoimmune disease. He's concerned about being exposed to the virus, but he is the one with health insurance, and that's how she has her health insurance. He's thinking about leaving his job because he's worried about the exposure, but that would mean both of them not being able to access care. And then meanwhile, with the stress of, you know, their finances and the isolation, she's been dealing with some very severe depression and anxiety and even some thoughts of suicide. Trying to help them navigate that and say, you know, does it make sense for your husband to keep going to work so you can both keep accessing care, or is the risk too high? So those are the kind of unanswerable questions that we find ourselves with now.
So these really aren't just medical questions. This isn't just a matter of, you know, a health issue. These are all integrated here. These are economic questions. These are mental health questions, right? So you're
yeah,
actually
absolutely.
Dealing with all of them. And you probably always were, but they're really acute now, I guess is what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly summed up. Yeah, and especially, you know, for our patients who are already dealing with financial stresses, you know, this has really just been a minefield for them.
And we have a lot of questions from listeners along those same lines, so let's get to those. A lot of them center on this whole question of whether or when it could be safe to get back to work, especially if they have underlying conditions. This is Dana in Wisconsin.
I'm a full-time nanny to a family that owns a small nursing home and a medical transport company. I currently have asthma and am very susceptible to bronchitis. I also am married and the sole caretaker of a disabled person who has COPD and emphysema and a heart condition. When will it be safe and responsible to me and my family to return to work?
That's a tough one. What do you think, doctor?
That is definitely a tough one. So I want to say, first of all, you know, if people can work from home, I think that's great. You know, if they're able to make money, that protects them, that protects their family, that protects their community. But for a lot of people like Dana, they have these kinds of jobs, which we now recognize are essential to our society, that can't be done remotely. While what I would say for her is, you know, I would talk to your employer about, you know, what can be done to minimize the spread of the virus. So one thing that this question brings to mind is a lot of doctors, nurses, other healthcare workers have these kind of elaborate rituals when we get home to not bring our shoes inside, to immediately change our clothes, wash our hands, sanitize our phones. So is that something that she could do and something that she could ask her employer to do? And I hope she feels empowered to ask for that. You know, for her husband that she's taking care of, he certainly is very, very high risk. And I think that he should also be involved in those conversations about, you know, when can she go back and what are other ways that they can minimize their risk, you know, when she's going to the grocery store, for example. For her, if this is asthma, luckily it seems like asthma may not be a significant risk factor based on the very early data that we have.
Let's get to another question. This is Julia in Wisconsin who wants to know what precautions she can take if she does have to go back to work.
I am immunocompromised and work in healthcare. My local guidelines say that I should not return to work until the fourth phase of reopening. which is in August at the earliest. However, I'm being pressured by work to return earlier than that. What PPE and other recommendations are there for immunocompromised people to return to work in healthcare?
What do you say, Dr. Poorman?
Well, first of all, I want to say, Julia, I'm so sorry that you're feeling pressure to come back to work. I mean, that sounds like a really, you know, difficult situation to be in. You know, what I would say is that the risk is not insignificant. About 1 in 5 cases of coronavirus are seen in healthcare workers, so we know that we are at high risk. It's, you know, immunocompromised can mean a lot of things. If it's well controlled, if she's, you know, not starting a new treatment, she may not be at especially high risk. So I think that's something to talk to her doctor about. And her doctor may be able to kind of put some leverage with her employer to, you know, find creative ways for her to work remotely. There's so much work to be done in any healthcare setting that can be done remotely. So, you know, perhaps that would be an option. If that's really not going to be possible, then I would recommend the kind of cleaning rituals that I talked about earlier for, you know, when she comes home so that she's not contaminating her home. I would also recommend always wearing a mask no matter where she is outside of the home, frequent hand washing, and not shaking hands with patients or colleagues.
Interesting. Here's another question that speaks to the whole question of what to do when you're outside. This is Connie in New Hampshire, who says she has an autoimmune disease and she's wondering about what to do when she's outside. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. I wear a mask when I'm out among people, but I don't wear it around my condo neighborhood or when I'm outside walking my dog. And I'm just wondering if I should be wearing it any time that I'm outside.
Dr. Poorman?
Yeah, well, Connie, first of all, thank you so much for wearing a mask. That's a wonderful way to prevent you spreading viruses to other people, for them to spread viruses to you. And I think it also just serves as a reminder to people to keep their distance. So I think it's useful in a lot of ways. What the mask does, this is really what we know now from looking at lots of data around this outbreak specifically. There was some controversy about whether or not it was useful. And I think right now, with all the new data that we have, we think it is really important. What the mask does is that it prevents you from spraying those tiny droplets that the virus can live on. And those can be sprayed about 6 feet away just with talking, singing.
And that's all the time we have, Dr. Poorman. You see so many questions and so many complicated scenarios. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. I hope we'll talk again. That's Dr. Elizabeth Poorman. She's a doctor of internal medicine at the University of Washington. If you have questions about health insurance during this pandemic, keep sending them to npr.org/nationalconversation or on Twitter, NPR Conversation. This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News. And we hope you'll stay with us.